Nightshirts theme song.
Nightshirts. Yeah.
Howdy, hey, and welcome to Nice Shorts.
I'm Fu Yang.
And I'm Johnny Middle.
And this is a show where we interview animators about the shorts they make.
Today, we have the second part of our interview with Martina.
In part two, we talked about Hidden,
a mixed stop motion and 2D music video exploring creative lighting.
Martina talks about making the most of a project's budget
and dives deeper into her journey being a self-taught animator.
Like learning new things while on the job.
She even gives us a glimpse into development of her top secret full-length feature film.
And now on with the show.
And Hidden, you did 2D animation in the middle of that.
Oh, I had such great ideas for the part because it was... okay, so the music video is about the main guy, because it's like an autobiographical. So it's a story about the musician, actually, so... his past and about his experience. And it was shifting between the present time, which is metaphorical in a kind of way, because we have like this light in the chest that represents lights, like you're happy, you are ambitious, you are you're just happy, and like all of the darkness around him, hovering this light, so it's dims or like the those dark particles covering his arms and whole body. And he's like remembering the memories that he had when he was a kid, like living with an abusive father or in a xenophobic city. And like every time he remembers those things, he just hides his happiness inside and dims his light, if you know what I mean. So, so we were shifting between the present time and the past. And the past, we wanted to be in a different style. So at first I wanted to be in paper animation. But yeah, the budget and the timing and the deadline was really tight. So I decided maybe we can do it in 2D animation. And it was rotoscoping. Yeah, so I recorded myself and then I draw pictures on that, so it was much easier for me because I didn't know exactly how to animate into the especially like a person who is should be in three dimensional. That was really hard for me to imagine or to do.
And so also in a short time you need to solve those problems, so rotoscope my head.
What did you use to rotoscope in?
Oh, it was in, I guess, Procreate. Because it's something that I know. So I was it's not the best way, but I know it. So
whatever way you did to get it done is the best way.
Yeah, if it worked.
It was cool. You know, I like the metaphor came through because then he gets his guitar and he like gets his anger and darkness out into the music, like uses it to express his emotions and he clears his mind.
Yeah, clears, cool. Exactly.
So when you were doing like puppet designs on that, you have the lights in the chest. I'm curious how you did that body. Like, is it on the front of the armature? I'm curious.
So basically, yeah, that was tricky. It's also LED lights. So I did... the chest and hips are made from balsa wood. So I drilled a hole and put LED light. And I actually thought what I can cover his body so the light is reflecting very well. So it's not covering the light very much because I wanted to use paper textures. So his clothes will be all from paper. But to have the texture that I wanted, I had to use very thick paper, so the light was really dimmed and I didn't like that. So what I did pants from paper, and the shirt was actually really thin fabric, so the light was reflecting very well. And the wire, so the wire came from the chest under his clothes and one leg, and we had to drill a hole in the set. So whether he was his legs weren't visible, the wire was like somewhere, and with the whole body shots, wide shots, we had to drill a hole behind and hide the wire somewhere.
So did you have just like the wire just stripped and bare wire for a bit? So when you had to go through a new hole, you just wrapped it up to the connecting wire each time? Or how'd you do that?
We planned the shots that way that he's not walking or changing position while we see the whole body. So
okay,
like the wire was only in one position in the hole. Like hidden somewhere, and if we had some running shots, that was only from the chest to the top.
Was the LED flickering not a problem because it was going through clothes and matted, or?
I think we had a dimmer, so it was all right. Like there was no flickering, and also I could animate the light because this thingy,
the
and
dial,
the maybe. So yeah, I could animate the
blinking. Make it brighter or dimmer.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Because that was the whole point. That was the most important thing in this script, that we have to dim the light and make it brighter sometimes. So that was the most important thing in this music video.
Yeah. So for you, the lighting need to be able to animate. So you need to control it. That's one of the new technique you did in this hidden. Okay.
And I couldn't do it by myself because I don't have enough knowledge and equipment, actually, because I didn't have all of those things.
How was it making the puppet out of balsa wood?
I mean, it wasn't a problem, I guess. I know balsa is very soft and
light.
Light, yeah. Exactly. But it held its place and it didn't break. So it was nice.
It's like from a balsa wood brick, and you kind of use the knife to chalk and then use the sandpaper to smooth it out.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you're doing like the joints, is it just a piece of metal just pinned right into the balsa wood?
There could be a possibility that the hand can break, or we have to change the hands because there was like two versions of them. One with those black things on the hands, and the second one was clean. So I used square brass tubes that I put on his shoulders, and then I glued the wire. Mm-hmm. So I could replace the hand if I need, and with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. Everything stayed in place.
Your reaction makes it seem like you were surprised it all worked through the whole film.
I'm always surprised. Like, what are you doing? Wow. I mean, like, stop motion is surprising. Like, you're doing everything from scratch, and you know, you don't see it while you're doing it after you finish, you're like, wow, I did everything by myself from scratch. That is impressive in a way.
Yeah.
Is that a compliment for yourself?
It's to myself? Oh, no. You know, sometimes you have to treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Yes, I agree.
Because you mentioned about Hidden, this music video, it combines some of symbolic in the film. And I wonder, dark and light, or also like how you animate it to be more easier to see what is happening with the story. Is that most come from you, or is somehow the musician also have some idea to play with that?
So the whole script was written by the musician because it was his personal story. So we discussed, and he had a lot of ideas and very like whoa ideas. So we discussed what we actually can accomplish in stop motion and what is doable with this budget. And his ideas were really great, but also complicated. So we stick with the main theme, which was this light coming out from the chest. And I try to wrap his ideas around this main concept and make it doable in our space and with the possibilities we had.
So the set you're working on at home, like, so you have the multiplane, the downshooter, right? And then you have the stage on the side, or are you using the multiplane for both? Or how do you manage this?
It depends where I'm working, because I've been in three flats in those years. Mm-hmm. And I was working with three different spaces. So Hidden was in a bigger space. It was actually in the basement. So we had some more space to shoot it, and you can tell, like, we had much more possibilities to shoot bigger
scale,
yeah, and backgrounds. But the first things that I shot were in my bedroom. So it's like, I don't know, 7 or 10 meters square space with my bed and with my closets and stuff. So it wasn't much space. But yeah, Hidden was a little bit bigger scale. I'm not saying that much bigger. I think like 2 meters long.
That's quite big.
Yeah, that's pretty big for the wide shots.
Yeah.
How do you block everything out? It's in a part of the whole apartment, right? The flat.
Yeah.
So like, is there curtains around it? Like,
yeah, definitely. Like the windows were all blocked.
Mm-hmm.
They should be dark as night. And we actually had some bigger lights, like really the lights that you use for a live action set. So they took a lot of energy and stuff. But I don't know, like my cinematographer took care of everything. So I didn't have to think about anything.
While you're working on a project, you just have like basically a roommate that is a full stage.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hidden Beans, this musician, is he also go through Instagram? So most of clients are from Instagram so far?
Hidden Beams, no, he was actually, someone recommended me and he texted me. So because I started my career, I don't know how to call it, but I did this first animation that I showed you, and someone said like, oh, you should do music videos and maybe you should put your work outside. And I was like, blah, blah, blah. Finally, I actually did, and my first clients were from Fiverr, this website that everyone is criticizing because like a lot of people are selling their stuff for really cheap, like $5. You can make an image for $5. And yeah, so I put my stuff on Fiverr and I always got new clients from that. And I was always doing new projects, and then I put my work on Instagram and then it grew really rapidly. It was really weird.
Did you find it hard to get people to pay more on Fiverr?
I was very modest. I actually didn't want to charge more that I had on my website. So yeah, I was really like, oh my God, thank you that you want things from me. Like, oh.
Yeah,
and I didn't know much because, like, yeah, I didn't know anything about animation, like
at the rate. Yeah.
Yeah. So after, I don't know, 1 year or 2 years, I started to really separate the stop motion into separate stages. Like, okay, so I have to make puppets, so let's learn how to make them properly, how to build a proper armature, how to make silicone molds and stuff. So like every stage I put into smaller stages and started to learn, for example, also animation. I watched 12 principles of animation and started to, from like from the basics, learn how to animate properly. Then I went into live action references and started to learn how to act as well, because you have to express emotions and tell a story. So I kind of try to imitate it with the puppet, how to share specific emotions, like building scenography as well.
You did acting classes?
No. Oh. I mean, in a kindergarten.
But analyze from references.
I'm watching a lot of interviews with actors and kind of like wanted to go into their specific world and learn how to act and how to sell emotions.
So you are self-taught, essentially. I mean, like, you sought out info from other people, but you are self-taught and self-driven and extremely ambitious in a good way, and you pull it off. That's not a compliment, that's a fact. What is it, do you think, that keeps driving you to do, like, to learn all this stuff?
I don't know. I'm insane, I guess. To be honest, I don't know how I even started in stop motion. That was really an accident. And I think the truth is I cannot do one thing all the time. So in stop motions, I do everything and don't focus on like one specific thing. So when the project comes, it's like, okay, so I have some time to make the puppets. I have some time to prepare the set and to think about the story, to learn about script writing, how to tell things that I want. And it's not like focusing on one thing, so I'm not bored. And I want to learn more because there's like different things to learn always.
Yeah, it's endless. It's it's really a lot.
Yeah.
Let's rank them. Pre-production, production, post-production. What are your favorite areas in like general? And what are the things that like lighting you don't want to do? So you hire that out. So let's go from favorite to lighting.
Oh, no, you know, the thing I hate the most is editing out the rig and cleaning the things. Yeah, this is the worst. I like editing, like putting the footage together. I love that. That's why I also make a lot of behind the scenes because I love making videos and it's so great. What I hate as well, let me think. I don't like post-production in general, I guess.
Yeah, because you need to sit in front of the computer.
Yeah. I would say like pre-production is the most interesting because there's a new idea that I have to take care of and there's like a lot of thoughts that I have in my head and like, wow, I want to do this and this. And most likely I'm like, okay, so I want to try a new technique that I've never tried before and I want to learn more about something. So like the pre-production and collecting all of the ideas that I have in mind and then creating the sketching, the scenography, the puppets and making them. Okay. Animation is all right. It's like, yeah, it's fine. And then post-production is like, I can edit things, but the rest, like, nope. Color grading, ugh.
No.
No.
Two questions. The first one is, for post-production, for editing out rigs, knowing that you hate it,
yeah,
do you plan your shots differently so you have to do as little masking as possible?
Yeah. At first, yes, and then I got lazy and I said, like, okay, I can fix that in post-production, or I will hire someone. Like, whatever. but I'm trying to hide rigs or do these tie downs so rigs are not visible, but sometimes there's shots like some puppets are flying or running, so there's like no way the rig is not involved. But yeah, most likely I would choose the framing that the rig is not visible, or I will hide it somehow. But yeah.
And the other question is, so since pre-production seems like your favorite time of just coming up with ideas, how do you decide when to lock it down and go, okay, well, these are my ideas, no more messing around, let's get to the part that I like less?
I think when the client is accepting my ideas. Okay. He's like, I've never made any short film or things, not any of my personal works. There are always some commercials or music video for someone, so they had to accept that, and then I could make things.
That's a pretty cool feat, by the way. Like a stop motion animator whose all of their work has been for paid projects is kind of.
Yeah, but I would love to make something by myself, for myself, in my home. Yeah, like I wouldn't find any producer to do a short film, I guess. I would just like, oh, I have an idea and I'm going to do it.
So home animation, you have a puppy that is adorable and a big part of your behind the scenes. How do you keep your sets and stuff from being destroyed between shots?
I have to close her in another room sometimes, but she doesn't steal that much anymore. she used to steal a lot, like in the hidden. She was like, because we collect a lot of wood inside the house, and she was like, oh my god, sticks, I love them. So she was like, okay, I'm gonna like steal all of them, and she was chewing on the couch those sticks, and it was a mess all around. But yeah, it was a lot of fun for her.
I noticed that in hidden, some of the trees were real actual branches,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we wanted to scope them out, but I said like, let's take the real trees. It's gonna be much easier and not time consuming. And it looks great in my opinion.
Because there was some where you had them like they were rotted out, not rotted out, but like you had to take chunks out of it. Was it hard to do that with the smaller objects?
Yeah, because on the side there were like bigger trees. So I actually found a fallen tree or a branch, like it was really thick. So it was kind of a size of a real tree in the scale. So we took a saw with us and we just...
It was are like real full-on. So basically you had like full trees.
Yeah.
How big was the puppet?
I have it, but he doesn't have a head.
What happened to the head?
Oh, whoa. It's big.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's
a
head.
30 centimeters. So the trees were like this big.
This stick, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the wire.
Yes. So I can show you how.
Let's see the wood. And I like Fu's question. Did you murder him? What happened to the head?
Where's the head?
I don't remember. Don't ask stupid questions. Okay, so there's the light inside and this wooden thing. And so the wire comes under the... but we actually glued it.
Try to hide behind the camera. Okay.
So it's like going behind the light and then in the hole.
How many puppets do you have next to you right now?
I have this one.
Yes.
I have this one.
That was another thing. That... You posted the behind the scenes on that in 2018, I think. Yeah. So how many, like, you do a lot of projects rather quickly.
Yeah, because I get easily bored and I cannot stand one project for a longer period of time, basically. Yeah, I work pretty quickly.
Which puppet's your favorite?
This one. But this one as well. And they were like my personal projects. They are not in any of the music videos and stuff.
You mentioned something you're going to be doing.
That can count as personal projects.
Yeah, you mean like my feature film?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm the person who done a bunch of music videos in the bedroom. And now my first debut is like, future film for kids in stop motion.
It's
kind of my personal project. Like I'm the creator and I give the ideas. I have a script writer who's she's amazing and she's helping me to bring my ideas to the audience so everyone will understand what I want to say. But basically I'm the designer of all of the characters and every personality. Yeah, this is insane. Like I have no idea about filmmaking. I've never gone to college how to make movies, so right now I'm like learning a lot how to write scripts. Even if I'm not a script writer, I want to kind of know how to operate in this field, so I will share my story in the way that people would understand and can connect to.
Where are you finding places to learn?
Basically books and internet, of course. But yeah, I have some books about script writing or even psychology, because I think it's very important to understand how human brain works in a way, how we handle our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
When I make a film for kids, it's for me, it's very important to know how to get to them.
Yeah, really have the communication, really get their attention or understanding what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We talked about that a bit before, where it's going to end up in English, right?
Yeah.
Any difficulties or anything you've encountered so far about how to translate those ideas into English? I mean, is that something you've already had to deal with at all?
No, not yet. Because yeah, we are writing in Polish for now. We don't even have a script finished. So There's like a long way. We only got some financing from Polish Film Institute.
Oh, cool.
For script development. But yeah, we have almost nothing for now.
It is possible that for the translating, if you want to go all over the world, that one might have another team to help with that, right? So far, it's just focusing on the concept. Okay.
Yeah. So it's in a very early stage for now.
I'm just curious. Yeah. I'm guessing you've considered everything, but what were your thoughts about just doing it all in Polish and then having it translated or overdubbed?
Like my producer said, it's better to like create it in English right away. Mm. But yeah, we are writing it for now in Polish, and then we'll have a native speaker that will translate that into English.
So what's the log line?
Oh, so it's about a cat witch who is living with her father. And basically they're living in the world that is separating from the non-magical people. And she one day, because the father is not allowing her to go outside to the city, and she's like, oh, but I want to discover the world. And she is running away. And meantime, she's meeting a dog who is not from this world. And like non-magical creatures are the enemy of this world. They hate them. And she has to help him find a way home. And meanwhile, she is discovering like the dark secrets about the magical world and the past of her father.
Finish the script. I'll learn to read Polish. I will learn the language. I want to read it.
Oh, no, you don't want to learn Polish.
Yes. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, we will see how it will end. But yes.
Well, your feature film, even though the world can be fantasy magical, but do you feel you will reflect a lot of Poland culture or?
Oh yeah, because yeah, not Polish culture, but Slavic culture, I guess. Because the magical world, which is separated, the first idea was that because the magic was so concentrated, the flora and fauna evolved into a different way. So we don't have normal animals, we have hybrids that have specific magical powers, and the flowers are all different. So it was also inspired by Slavic mythology, and I took some inspiration from this random creatures and monsters that we have in this.
Amazing.
Is there any Slavic like mythology, like any tales or stories that people should check out just to learn more? I love mythology from all areas. It's cool.
I don't know. I mean, I had that book where all of the creatures were described.
What book is it?
Bestiar Słowiański.
Oh, perfect.
I can Google that later. Like,
yeah. Okay.
It's spelled BESTEPRKI.
Almost, yeah. Almost. Almost.
So that is one of your inspirations.
Yeah, like, and it's so fun because like people believed that if they leave some food in the window, there's some kind of monsters would like, okay, I have food from your house, so I'm gonna be good to you, and I will steal from your neighbor and give it all of the money to you. So yeah, it was really fun.
Wait, so when they rob, not only do they leave your house alone, they rob your neighbor and give it to you?
Yeah, because you are nice to this people.
We know how it started. Some person a long time ago robbed their neighbor. Their neighbor caught them and they're like, no, I didn't do it. I baked a pie and a monster did it. Yeah.
Exactly. Or like there were some monsters that when you drink a lot, they would just like, lure you and you get lost and you just like fall asleep in the bushes. And it's not you. It's like those creatures.
So the same guy who robbed his neighbor, he was really drunk. His wife was pissed off. He's like, no, honey. It's not my fault. It was a forest monster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a fact.
I wanted to see a movie about the guy who created all of these just to get out of trouble.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's so cool. That's incredible.
Also, because during our conversation, you mentioned about like people in Poland might be a little grumpy, a little like to complain a bit. This is one kind of a personality. Is that possible to show in a film too for some characters?
Yeah.
I'm also curious about like the parents or the adult with kids. What's the relationship usually look like?
Oh, it's like you have to be this way. And if you're not this way, you're not my son. I'm talking obviously, but this is basically I think parents have, because it's like, the totally different generation and they were raised in different times. And so they have this point of view, like you should be this, this and that. And I think like most parents. And if not, you're wasting your life and you're doing it wrong. You're just living the wrong life.
Yeah. So as a director, as a storyteller, would you include those in this feature?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like most of the stories are based on real life experience. So when I'm like going outside with meet people and I talk to them, I really love listening to people because then I can kind of imagine in my head what kind of personality is this person and how this person is reacting to different stuff. Mm. And then I can actually put it into my film, which is more
authentic.
Authentic.
I'm really scared that you already know what kind of personalities we are.
Oh, no, don't be scared.
I don't know where to go with this. Just you put so much thought into so many details that it's just impressive.
Yeah, I mean, like, better said than done, I guess, because, I have all of these thoughts and I have so many ideas, but when it comes to, like, actually doing them, I feel like I'm going to fail so much. But we'll see.
How about that? Have you failed on something yet?
Yeah, I think so.
You have experience of that? Like, you really don't go through.
No, I mean, like, I didn't fail that much, but I like inside, I feel like most of the things are not the way I wanted them to be.
Mm. Are there specific things that you know caused that to be the case? Or is it just like overall, you don't feel it?
I think maybe because I'm very chaotic and I have too many ideas, I feel like I'm not organizing my thoughts very well. So, and in this feature film, I feel like I have too many ideas and too many topics I want to share. That is getting too complicated. So we are working with my scriptwriter and she said we need to simplify most of the things because there's going to be too many side stories and backstories that we have to deal with and we have to explain in a way. So
have you found ways to narrow your pipeline down kind of to like whittle down how much the scope of what you try to do in all the areas?
Yeah, I like to work with like writing the points that I want to include. So if I have too many ideas, I will write down what is the most important and what I have to explain in the story. For example, I don't know, like someone has parents, you know, so.
Tell me more.
I mean, like in the case of backstories, you know, you have some things and they had to came out from something. So you need to create this backstory that caused something to happen. So I don't know. I'm just trying to write the most important things in points and then maybe reduce some that are not very telling the story that I want to tell, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm talking things and I'm not giving examples because I can't for now.
No, you're good.
It's amazing that because you need to have limitation, you have certain amount of time for your feature film. So after you go through, we are going to see what part is your choice that to you is important.
Yeah. And imagine making a short film because, you know, in a feature film, you have a lot of time to share a lot of stories or, But in a short film, this most of the time, very concentrated and very limited things to say. It's just like one short thing that you want to say. And you have to be very selective of the things that you choose into this short form.
If someone says they want 20 seconds of music, I'm like, fuck. Yeah. It's going to be so hard. It's
much harder.
Yeah. So backstory is something that's a big part for you in all of your storytelling.
Yeah, because I want like everything to make sense in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not on screen, I feel like the important things should be explained.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on board. I agree with you. So do you fully flesh out backstories for all of your characters? You build the whole world.
Yeah, because like every person needs to have motivation for their action. So like everyone, no exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually spend a lot of time on figuring out who, like, not important people in this story are. Like, why do they work in this shop? Why they are acting like this? Why they are grumpy? Why they are happy? Why, like, everything.
So why are they grumpy?
Oh, because life sucks.
the winter weather is not cool. Summer is too hot too. A bit.
There's one good day, damn it.
Can you share with the audience, how do you get a pitch? Like, who invited you to try to develop this feature film together?
Oh boy. I've never done a proper pitch before. Like, okay, never. So the producers contacted me and they asked if I have some ideas for a TV series at first. And I gave them some log lines and they said like, okay, we want this idea, but in a feature film form. So I said, okay. I can give you that. So this is how it started, but I've never pitched this film before. Yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the producer find you is because how you do great in the festival, right?
Yeah, I mean, they are also from Warsaw, so we actually like probably bumped into each other in some festivals, and they knew that I exist.
They were correct. You do exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another little extra is that Instagram helps you a lot about sharing your process, ideas, all the beautiful work. And how about Behance? Like, why do you choose that platform as well?
Oh, I choose that because I don't have my website yet. So I can put it somewhere, but I'm making my website. So all of my works will be there. But for now, it's hidden.
Oh, so it's temporarily choice.
Yeah, it's temporarily. Yeah, okay. Because I want to put like all information about my feature film and the project that I cannot share right now because they are like from other directors.
Do you have any like surprising interaction on Behance or curious? Oh, because it's very entertaining to look at. So many artists are putting it there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So will you consider once you have your website, you will still keeping it or you just focus on your website and Instagram?
No, I think I will put some work in Behance as well. So it's like on different platforms. I don't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. But it's also a lot of work, you know, putting for example, I don't post on Facebook anymore because not worth it.
Okay.
So the only platform like I really take care of is Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
When you do one of those Behance posts, how long does that take?
A long time.
It looks like a lot.
You also need to write a description, work on that, what is this about?
Yes.
And the pictures and stuff,
It's the worst.
Another additional thing I'm quite thankful is that sometimes when I see your story, you are open for followers to ask you questions. Especially sometimes are pretty technical questions. And I see your responses always full of information. Anything you want to share about this aspect?
Yeah, because, you know, like I'm self-taught, so I didn't have any resources to learn from. I actually have to ask other people to give me some advice. So yeah, I'm always like, if someone is asking me some questions about technical aspects of stop motion, I'm always like, yeah, I will tell you some details. Because yeah, there's not much places that you can learn from. Even in, if you go to college and study animation, it's like very little universities that you can actually learn something about it. Mm. You can go to some courses or workshops, but there's not much places that you can learn this kind of stuff. So I'm always trying to help people.
Who are some people that have been really helpful to you?
So the first course or workshop I attended was in Valencia, Spain. There was the first time I actually learned how to animate in the proper way. And it was also like stop motion animation. So for me, it was like, whoa, I didn't know that this kind of things exist. And yeah, the second course I attended was this puppet making one, which there was like specified on stop motion. There's not many platforms that you can learn from. I mean, like now people are more open and making more workshops and courses online.
Mm.
But when I was learning, there was like nothing, literally nothing. So I have to, yeah, ask people with more experience to give me some advice or even watch my animations and give me some advice. Mm. And that helped me a lot.
Just feel happy that you got support system. It's nice.
Yeah. Now, what is your question for the next guest?
Oh, no. Like, I feel like everyone has these deep questions and stuff. And I'm like, have only stupid things in my mind.
Stupid things are the best things.
Okay. So I have.
Okay. Like,
if you had to choose only one color that you want to make a short film, what would it be? Only one color and why? Why this color?
This is so exciting.
Yeah, that's not a stupid question. That's fun. Because that's the kind of shit that like you think about and then you go, well, hell, I'm going to try that and make something new.
Yeah, maybe everything in blue. And why blue? Blue is sad. Blue is water. Blue is sky.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sky and water are both sad. Agreed. What's your Instagram handle?
Martina Koleniec.
Perfect.
My name.
Yeah. We'll put links and everything.
Yeah.
So link to your Instagram, link to your Behance, not to Facebook, because fuck Facebook. Anywhere else? Twitter, anything like that?
No, I don't have Twitter.
TikTok?
Yeah. No, not anymore.
Okay.
What happened? You made me very curious. What's the reaction?
Because Instagram became TikTok now, so.
Oh, okay.
And you can put the same content there. So.
Can people hire you?
Yeah, I can. Why not?
Okay.
Martina, you need to study yourself. I love how you express. And also you need to study your emotion. After this episode release, please look at your expression. It's awesome.
And now Martina's going to think about that nonstop for the next month and a half. She covered her face already. She's like, ah, fuck.
No, it's authentic.
I feel like I'm not going to watch this after it's out.
I feel you. I did a podcast for someone one time, and it was one of my favorite podcasts back then, and I couldn't listen because I didn't want to hear myself. I hate myself.
I hate myself too. Okay. I mean, I respect myself, but I sometimes I'm.
Yeah. Yeah. Why did I say that? Why do I talk? So now you end this episode.
I end this episode. Period.
Okay.
I don't know. I hope everyone had a great time and will have a great time.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very sweet. Yes.
I still think we're gonna end it right after period.
two versions, and for every audience, do not compliment Martina too much. It's a rule for her. Is that
yes? Yes.
Okay.
All right, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Cool. Okay.